Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you.
Somebody shout hallelujah to the King tonight. Church, are you ready to take back all that the enemy has stolen? Reclaim the systems of this world, for the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord. How come we walk around and tell them, take it back, take it back, take it back, take it back, take it back? Tonight, Father, we reclaim the mountains. We go forth in the power and authority. Come on, SC, lift it down. Say, can't you hear?
What?
reclaim what's yours.
Well, God bless you. Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Flowers, Repair the Breach International Ministries. I bring you greetings, and my wife, Prophetess Angel Flowers. We thank the Lord for the landline listeners, the internet listeners, cell phone listeners, those that are listening under the sound of my voice on tonight. I want you to be in high expectation in the Lord on tonight, be expecting, even as you heard the song, the warfare song being played about reclaim your mountain. Saints of God, it's time for us to reclaim our mountain. It's time for us to take back all that which the enemy have stolen and taken away from us, that which was rightfully ours anyway. It rightfully belongs unto us anyway as sons and daughters of God. We are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord. So it's time for us to take back. It's time to take back our families. It's time to take back our homes. It's time to take back our marriages. It's time to take back our finances, our prosperity, our health. Everything's time to take back. Take back, take back, take back from the enemy. The Word of God said, if the thief had been found, the thief have to give back seven times that which he have stolen, that which he have taken away. He have to give it back unto you. So what are you going to do, saints? Are you going to just lay back, sit back, and let the enemy constantly steal from you? Constantly let him rob you? Constantly just take from you? You be passive and not fight back? The Word of God said, the kingdom of heaven is suffering violent, but the violent take it by force. I didn't say that. The Word of God says that the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. So we got to take this thing by force. We are in spiritual warfare. Whether you want to believe it or not, we are in a spiritual warfare. We are in a battle. We are in a battle against the unseen realm. Our battle and our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the unseen realm, demonic influence, demonic powers that are operating behind the scenes. Those that you see that may be bound by drugs or alcohol or prostitution or murdering in our communities, and that's all influenced by spirits. These are demonic spirits in operation behind the scenes that are influencing people to do these things that are under the command of Satan, that is under his will, under his authority, just bound by him. And that's why we saints of God got to rise up, and we got to take by force, take back the souls of men, snatch them out of the hands of Satan, from out of the pits of hell, because that's where the enemy is leading them to hell, to destruction. So we got to take back. The Word of God said, if my people in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. That's the only way, saints of God. Us warfare and fighting, us humbling ourselves as the saints of God, as the people of God, as the church of God. I'm talking about of the kingdom. I'm talking about those that are of the kingdom. As we begin to humble ourselves and pray and turn away. Notice the Word of God said, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people. So God put some stipulations on them. He said, if my people, that means you have to be one of God's people, would humble themselves and pray. And then that's when our Father said, he'll hear us. And when we turn away from that which is displeasing unto God, then we can hear from heaven, from our Father, and that he will forgive us, forgive our sins, and that he will heal our land. Whatever it is that you're standing in need of, whatever is broken in your life, God will heal. It doesn't take much. All we have to do is just humble ourselves. Well, tonight, well, bless God. Before I get off into the word on tonight, I thank God for our Kingdom Builders International, the founder, Prophetess Teresa. May I thank God for also Evangelist, our sidekick. Amen. I'd like to say in the Lord, amen, Evangelist Hannah as well, and those that are working behind the scenes, amen, concerning getting the outreach with our Kingdom Builders, getting the word out. And as you're listening right now, hearing the word of God and being edified and exhorted and comfort through the word. So I want you to be encouraged on tonight, people of God. I want you to be again in high expectation. I want you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I want you to believe God in war concerning the prophetic word that has been spoken over your life. War, you got the war concerning that word. Keep warring until you see that word come to pass. It will come to pass. Don't faint. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't bend to the enemy trying to weary you and trying to wear you out. So continue to keep moving forward in the things of God and in the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you, God, on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we can do nothing without you. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit and your anointing that breaks and destroys the yokes. Father, I pray right now, God, let there be an open heavens, Lord, over us right now in the name of Jesus. Those that are listening under the sounds of my voice, God, in the name of Jesus, I declare, I decree an open heavens, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I commission and I loose, God, right now, your ministering angels, your ministering spirits, your warring angels, God, to move on behalf of the people of God that are listening, God, under the sound of my voice, God, whether they're in the workplace, whether they're in home, God, whether they're on the other side of the globe. God, they're tuning in and they're listening in right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you'll move on behalf of your people, God. Lord, I declare, I decree a supernatural move, God, on tonight. In the name of Jesus, let manifestations of healing take place, God. Let manifestations of deliverance take place, God. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you begin to turn around your people's circumstances and situations, God, on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, those that have felt faint-hearted, God, those that have seemed to be losing hope, God, I pray a supernatural strength will come upon them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you will strengthen them and that you will encourage their heart, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now that an impartation of joy be released on tonight in the name of Jesus, because your word declares that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, I release it right now in the name of Jesus. Those that have been battling with depression, those that have been oppressed by the enemy, in the name of Jesus, I command them to be loose right now in the name of Jesus. And I command those spirits that have been tormenting them, those spirits that have been harassing them, to go back to the pits of hell where it belongs in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give you praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor right now. And God, I pray right now that you would not only meet the needs of your people, God, but that you would give them their heart's desire and their wants, God, even as they delight themselves in you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, according to your will, God, that you begin to move concerning your people. Let them see loved ones saved and delivered, God. Let them, Father God, see a mighty moving of your spirit, God, on tonight, God. Lord, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord have to say unto them, the church, God. Let them see prayers answered, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let them receive clarity and direction, God, of who they are in you, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And we thank you for it right now. In Jesus' mighty name, we humble ourselves before you, Lord, and we repent for the omissions and the commissions of our sins, God. We cast down every high imagination, every wicked thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of you, God, that stinking thinking, that nasty thinking, that unclean thinking, God, that wrong thinking, Lord, the wrong mindset, God, we cast it down. We bring every thought into the obedience and the captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. We cast it down right now, Lord. We renounce unforgiveness and bitterness and hatred, God, and malice and contention, all these various things, the works of the flesh, God, in the name of Jesus. We repent of it right now. We don't want anything to hinder our walk with you, Lord. We don't want anything to hinder our blessings, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And most of all, God, we want to display and have your fruits, the fruits of the Spirit, Lord, because it pleases you. It pleases you, Father, for your children to bear forth much fruit in the name of Jesus. Your word declares that the world will know that we are your disciples indeed, the love that we show forth one towards another. And Lord, I pray, God, let it be more love, God, in the body of Christ. Let us display more love. I'm talking about a godly love, that unconditional love, Lord. Not that love that's conditional. I love you because of you didn't get on my nerves the other day, or because you're doing everything that I want you to do. That's why I love you, or because I did something for you and you're doing something for me in return back. No, I love you whether you do something for me or you don't do something for me. I love you regardless whether you hate me or you dislike me. And that type of love, Lord, that agape love that you had for us, Lord, on Calvary. And, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, God. And I ask, Father, that you begin to manifest your power and manifest your glory, God, in the name of Jesus. Let there be unity, God, in the body of Christ, Lord. Let there be one accord, oneness, one mind, one spirit. Let us lay aside our doctrinal differences, God, in the name of Jesus. As long as we preach Jesus Christ being crucified and him being resurrected and raised from the dead, if we can just have that, if we can just agree upon that, and Lord, we thank you and we praise you for it right now, God, because it's all about the souls, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank God, amen and amen. Well, saints of God, I'm going to get right into the Word of God with the time that I have on tonight. I want to make sure I give you the Word and what the Lord is saying. And what I want to talk to you about on tonight is many called, but few chosen. And that's from Matthew, the 20th chapter and the 16th verse. And as always, get a pad, get a pen, just write the scriptures down, write down what applies to you and the Word and everything, and so that you can see, ponder on it, think about it, meditate on it. You'll be able to go back to and refer to in your own time and begin to read it for yourself. But what I want to focus in on tonight, many called, but few chosen. If you can, just open up your Bibles with me to Matthew, the 20th chapter, the 16th verse. I'm reading from the King James Version. And it says, "So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." I want to focus in right now on called, where it says, "Many be called." There are many that hear the call of God. There are many that God called into his service. And there are many that hear the call and respond to the call of God. I mean, many, many God called many, 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 many to come unto him. But let me give you the definition of call. It's to make a request or demand. Did you hear that? So many be called. To make a request or demand. Go with me to St. John, the 6th chapter, starting at the 56th verse. I'm reading the 56th through the 66th verse. And this is in reference to about many being called. There were many disciples that were called. There were many disciples other than the 12 that was walking with Jesus in Jesus' ministry when he was ministering, came on the scene and started moving forward in his ministry. See, Jesus knew that he had an assignment. Jesus knew that he had a work to do. So Jesus was not going to let anything detour him or stop him from fulfilling the assignment that God had committed unto his hand. And those that are focused like that, those that are of the kingdom, I'm not talking about those that are called, but you heard me read where it says that, but few are chosen. So there are many that are called, but there are few that are chosen out of that many that have been called. And know that Jesus was sent by God, he was chosen by God, he was called by God, he was God incarnated in the flesh to do a work, a special work for the Lord, and that was to redeem us from our sins, to redeem us from getting ready to bust hell wide open. None of us was not going to be able to enter in into the kingdom of God. None of us was not going to have eternal life if it wasn't for Jesus coming and giving up his life for us. The Word of God said that Jesus said that he made this statement. He said, "No man take of my life, but I lay it down, that I may get back up again." And so he knew what his assignment was. He knew what he was sent here to do and what God had chose him to do. So we are the ecclesia. That means called out ones. In St. John 6, chapter 56, verse, like I said, through the 66th verse, is dealing along the lines of the many disciples that are called. And it reads as following here. I'm reading the King James Version. It says, "He that eat of my flesh." Now, this is Jesus talking. And "drink of my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?'" Now, notice in verse 60, it said, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?'" They asked that question. And verse 61, he said, "When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Do of this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?'" So that tells you something right there, that for those of you that say, how could Jesus have been in the beginning with God? Didn't he not just come on a scene or just be born when the New Testament was written? So how is it that he could be in the beginning with God, but you just heard him say it right here with his own words in verse right here in the Word of God, that he was with God in the beginning. So that answers your question right there. This is Jesus speaking right here. The writing that you see in red is Jesus speaking right here. That's why he said, "What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" Somebody ought to catch that. Before. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." So many of them that were walking with Jesus, that were called by the Lord, was walking with him. They got offended because what he was saying was just too much for them. It was just too deep. They couldn't handle it. They was more so looking on the natural side, the fleshly side. And I believe he kind of took it literal. What do you mean, eat his flesh and drink of his blood? And what are you talking about? He's the bread of heaven, and you eat of me, and you shall live, and life, and all this stuff and everything. So they got offended. And so that's why Jesus had to break it down. He said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So that's what he was sharing with them right there. He was telling them, right, "I'm releasing unto you the words of life. It's spirit and it's life unto you. As you eat of the words that I'm releasing unto you, you shall live. And it shall be, marrow to your bones." And in Proverbs, I believe it talks about that, the word. And so I guess they, by them walking in their flesh and not really seeing what Jesus was saying, so they took offense to what he was saying. Why? Because they were called. Now, let me go back some. Remember the multitude that followed Jesus for the two fishes, and the five loaves of bread. They were following him. And they were following him only for, Jesus didn't want to send them away empty-handed. So he didn't want to send them away, put it like this, he didn't want to send them away hungry. Because they had been following him for, I believe, about 3 days and listening to him preaching and teaching the word of God and so on. So as they were following him and Jesus fed them, the multitude, notice when they saw that he can perform miracles like that, and that was the only reason why that they were there and they were sticking by him, because they only was there for what they can get. And that's what I like to call those that are consumers. Only there for what they can get. And notice, even in that, they wanted to make him a king, a earthly kingdom, and Jesus had to run and get away from that. Because remember, the enemy will come and try to get you off of your assignment and try to get you off focus and try to bring other things into your life that don't have nothing to do with the will of God for your life, that's outside of the will of God for your life. So the enemy would come and try to suggest things or try to put things in your ear that would have you to walk contrary to the assignment of the Lord. And so Jesus knew his assignment. Jesus was focused even when they came to try to do that. Jesus knew that he was not sent here to establish an earthly kingdom that shall pass away, but Jesus came to set up an eternal kingdom. So he knew what his assignment was about. Now, getting back to John, starting at the 64th verse, it said, "But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. "And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." That's your answer right there. Remember, many are called, right? But can no one come unto the Lord except the Father draws him? Right, and those that the Father draws are the ones that are chosen by God. Remember, Matthew 20:16, "For many be called, but few chosen." In verse 66 it says, "From that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him." And so again, that goes back to many disciples that followed Jesus other than 12, got offended, turned away, and went back to doing whatever that they were doing, went back to whatever lifestyle that they were living. Why? Because when they were following Jesus, their motives were wrong. their intentions were wrong. You know, they came with an attitude about trying to find, you know, point the finger and fault find and trying to poke holes in Jesus' ministry and trying to say that he's not, you know, the Son of God. Now, these are the ones that's supposed to have been following him, not disciples. And here they are trying to find stuff on him, trying to find anything that they can to kind of, you know, discredit him and so on. So I would like to say those are the ones that are called, and they weren't drawn by the Father. They heard the call, but they didn't answer the call, because if they answered the call and was chosen of God, they wouldn't have turned away. They wouldn't have walked away, as the word of God said here, that they walked no more with him. Many of them went back, and they walked no more with him. Now, I want to focus on chosen. Let me give you the definition of chosen. One who is the object of choice or of divine favor, an elect person. You hear that? Let me read that again. One who is the object of choice or of divine favor, an elect person. So when you are chosen by God, you're God's choice. God has favored you. And not only that, you are elected by God. Did not the word of God calls us his elect? We are called God's elect, his elect. That we're chosen by him, that we are handpicked by him, that we are peculiar people. We're considered strange, even among the religious sector, which I would like to say called church. They look at you, you know, you're strange and you're weird and so on and everything, because you're one that walk in the spirit, and because your assignment is different, it's because you're chosen by the Lord, and you consider you're misunderstood, you looked at wrong, you're considered the outcast, even among your own people in the church. I would like to say church, but I'm talking about those that walk in the kingdom. Those that walk in the kingdom are the ones that are chosen by God, handpicked by God. And the people of the church world will not understand those that are of the kingdom. Remember, those that Jesus was dealing with, a lot of people that Jesus was dealing with, man, he was dealing with religious folks, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, that were religious. Full of dead man's bone, as Jesus would say. And in Luke, the 6th chapter, the 12th and the 13th verse, it said, "It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." Hear that? Jesus, God had Jesus to go to pray so that he can pick out and choose the 12 that he was going to be working with, that he was going to train, that he was going to teach, that he was going to mentor, handpick. Now, notice it said here there were many disciples among Jesus. There were many disciples that walked with Jesus, but God said, okay, it's time for you to work hands-on and work closely with a select few. And so those were the chosen one out of the bunch of the disciples that had walked with Jesus, that were called, that heard the call. So there were hand-selected few that were chosen, which was the 12, and even the Lord knew, even the one that was going to be the devil, the one that was going to betray him, which was part of the assignment of Jesus, amen, concerning the cross. In 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, in the 24th verse, it talks about those that is not, the world don't really receive. Well, not only that, but even in the church, don't really receive those that are chosen by God. They look at the ones that are chosen by God a little strange and a little funny, as you heard me say early in 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, 24th verse, it said, "But unto them which are called, but Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen," hear that, "chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to to confound the things which are mighty. Notice the word of God said in verse 26, God didn't call those that were, someone that was well-known, someone that that was rich, someone that had a degree in this and a degree in that, very intellectual, or I went to Harvard, or I went to Oxford, or the educational background, or because I come from a long line of those of this heir, this is our family crest. You know, I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth, and so God did not call. That's what the word of God is saying here. He didn't call many those that seem to be wise in their own eyes, and many mighty men, those that are proclaimed to be mighty, and those that are noble are called. God did not call them, but God have chosen. You heard that? Chosen. Again, it goes back to that again. Chosen the foolish things. You know, people look at you like you're foolish, you're weak. I can remember. Think about it. Growing up in high school, just say you was the quiet one. You didn't bother anybody. Just say you in grammar school or high school, you kind of kept to yourself and everything, and you weren't a confrontational person or outspoken person. And because you was the quiet one, you had those that would come and pick on you. They look at you because they look at you like you're weak because you're quiet and stuff like that. And they feel like they can try to take advantage of you and use you and bully you, so to speak, and do all kinds of things for you, to you, and that you're not going to do anything and so on. Why? Because you're nobody, you're weak, and those are the various ones that God raised up. Those are the various ones that God used, with those that society looked down upon, or the world mark has put the big mark of X upon them, excommunicate them, and don't want to have nothing to do with them. And say because you didn't come from this background, or because you didn't have this type of education, oh, you only finished the third grade, and you're nobody, you're nothing. The people begin to talk condescending down to you, and begin to look down upon you, and say that you're nothing, you're nobody, and who can use you, and so on. So you're the very candidate, you're the very elect, amen, that God would use, amen. You're the very person that qualifies you to be used and to be chosen by God in the service of the Lord. The very ones that people frown upon, the very one that people have talked about and put you down and so on, you're that very candidate that God has elect to do a special work for him. And as the word of God said, and base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen. Like I said, those that people, they hate you for some, no reason. I hate you. I can't stand you. And like I said, talked about you and made fun of you and pick with you and did all these different things, unto you. Amen. But God said, I'm going to take you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to raise you up because I've chosen you. And the very reason is because the word of God says here, and God chosen, yea, in the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29, this is the very reason why, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's the very purpose and the very reason why. So you can't say that I did it because of my ability, because of my know-how, because of my strength, because of who I know and so on and everything. There's nothing that you can say that can take the credit for what God has done in your life and how God has raised you up to become a great woman of God, how God has raised you up to become a mighty man of God when you were a person that was fearful, timid, and always felt intimidated by others, that you were a person that dealt with low self-esteem. You didn't have that much confidence within yourself, low self-worth, a very low appraisal of yourself. You saw yourself as being nothing or nobody. Why? Because people have told you that. People in your own family have told you that. You know, aunts or uncles, or maybe your own mother or your father or some authority figure. Oh, you're knucklehead. You this and that. You're no good. You're just the negative words that have been released. You're the very candidate that God has chosen to use in this end time and in these last days. If you don't believe me, ask David. David off somewhere attending to the sheep. worshiping God, singing songs unto the Lord. And when the prophet came into town, Samuel came into town to anoint new king, and he called for the son, went to Jesse's house. You know, some of you know the story. Many of you know the story. And those of you that are not familiar with the story, you may be, this may be new to you. You're not familiar with the story. You're not familiar concerning Samuel the prophet when he came to the house of Jesse to anoint a new king. And he called for the sons. Now, these were men of war. They trained in the military and everything. They had the stature. They had the look and so on. And so the prophet, you would think that, you know, the prophet would have discernment, that the prophet would have known. So the prophet, he was looking at the outer. He's looking at the flesh. He's looking at, man, because of the person's stature, you know, the build and the way they look, man, he looks kingly. You know, this is the one. And God's like, nope, he's not the one. Okay, well, this one, I know he got to be the one. God's like, nope, he's not the one either. Okay, I'm pretty sure that this is the one. You know, he looked the part. He got the build. And everything, he looked majestic and so on. So this one got to be the one. And the Lord's like, nope. So Jesse went through all the sons. Like, I don't understand. I don't get it. Now, given the fact that he was a prophet, that God did not allow one of his words to fall to the ground. God honored whatever word came out of the men of God's life. And you would think that he would have some kind of discernment and be able to discern and say right away, say none of them are the ones. But he went looking on the outer. And then he said, well, I know God said it's a king here. It's they're here in your house. Do you have another son? And so as far as Jesse was like, well, yes, I do have another son. David, he's out there somewhere. Well, go and fetch him. Go and get him. I'm not going to sit down until you go and get him. That's how much respect, how much honor, amen, the prophet had, amen, for the man of God and for the next king, amen, that was going to rule over Israel, that he stood and waited until they got him and brought him back. Amen. And then that's when God began to minister unto him and say, this is the one. And God began to let him know and tell him, I don't look on the outer. I look upon the heart. It was because of his heart. God had chosen him, even though he didn't look the part. And he seemed kind of strange and weird. And he always out there with the sheep and messing around in the dirt and dirty and all this stuff, walking around singing songs and stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Those of you know what I'm talking about, those that are chosen by the Lord, you seem weird to people you had seen strange and so on. Why? Because you love God and you worship God and you know, you were the type that was to yourself and everything, and you knew that there was a purpose and there was a plan for your life and that God has chosen you to do something. You didn't know, you know, what it was. It wasn't quite clear to you, but you knew that it was something special that you weren't just, you know, called to do what everybody else was doing, but you was chosen for a special work, a special assignment, just like the 12. They were chosen for a special work, for a special assignment that the Lord was having them to do. They was the very ones that turned the world upside down. Amen. So let's get back into the Word of God. Chosen. I want you to meditate on that. Let that stick with you, that you're chosen by the Lord. There's a special work that God is calling for you to do. And think it not strange, the things that you have been through in life and how the enemy had tried to destroy you, even in your youth, and how even before you even came from out of your mother's womb, and how the enemy had tried to use your mother. Those of you that may be listening on the sound of my voice, I'm ministering to somebody on tonight, and you've heard the stories of how your mother was trying to abort you, but God did not allow it to be so. Why? Because you were chosen by the Lord, and how many of you that are listening on the sound of my voice, amen, that your mother was carrying you in the womb. She abused drugs and she abused alcohol while you were in the womb, and how the enemy was trying to destroy you right in the womb, but God said, not so. Why? Because he have chosen you. That's why he told the prophet Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I chosen you. God had prepared him for work before he was even born, before he even entered into his mother's womb. And those of you that are listening on the sound of my voice, those of you that have been chosen by God, not called, but chosen by God, You were chosen before the foundations of the world. You were predestinated, according to Ephesians 1, already by the Lord. Already had it laid out. And the blessed thing about our Father is that he give us free will, free choice, because you have some that say, well, you know, those, you know, people in the world that you may minister to, and you know, they will say, well, if God already knew that I was going to hell, what's the purpose of me giving my life to him or serving him? And it goes back to free will. And they would say, well, how did God already, you know, purpose my life and stuff? So that means, you know, he already knew that I'm going to hell. So what's the purpose of me, you know, serving him? You have to say again, it goes back to free will. It goes back to choice. God wants us to serve him willingly and from our heart. And that's why he told the children of Israel, he said, I'm not no longer going to write down my words on tablets and stones and all this stuff, and you just going with the motion and your heart is not in it. He said, I'm going to write my words upon the hearts of flesh, upon your hearts. He said, I shall be your God, and you shall be my people. And it goes back to free will. God said, I want a willing sacrifice. I want you to come willing. That's what the word of God said. Whosoever will, let them come. And notice those that, you know, you experienced that you went to, you know, church and stuff like that during that time. You probably didn't know the Lord, and maybe, you know, some of you did, brought up in the church, but you didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And here you are, you know, you go into a church, and because you were invited or something like that, and you just happen to go, and then you hear the preacher, pastor, whoever, preaching, but they're preaching a condemning message real hard. I'm talking about harsh so far as hell, and saying, you're going to hell if you don't repent for your sins. You're going to bust hell wide open. God saying, repent today, repent right now. Come out of that mess again right now. Give your life to the Lord right now. You don't want to die and go to hell. And then he's doing altar call. Is it that they're coming up because they were convicted, or is it that they're coming up to the altar out of fear? Many people have came to the altar out of fear. And notice, after that, they didn't come back to the church no more. It only lasts for so long, they didn't come back anymore. Notice the word of God said, can no man come except the Father draws him. And that's why when the Lord had me to do altar calls, and the Lord would have me to show those that if they feel a pulling, a tugging in their heart, that's God calling them. That's the Father drawing them for them to come. But if they don't feel that tugging or that pulling in their heart, then that means the Father's not calling them. The Father's not drawing them unto himself. Now, I'm not just saying this. You heard me read it, and those of you that are following along with me from the Word of God, read it for yourself, that can no man come except the Father draws them. That's not me. That's what the Word says. In verse 16, it said, and Judas, the brother of James, I'm still in Luke, the 6th chapter. I'm at the 16th verse now. And Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. There's always going to be a Judas in your midst. It's why? Because God's purpose have to be worked in your life. If there's no resistance in your life, how could you know that you can do all things to Christ that strengthen you? How do you know that you can get through that test or that trial if there was nothing there working against you, an assignment against you? And I know a lot of times we can begin to pray and we want certain things removed out of our life, and we can be trying to pray against God. And it's God's will for certain things to take place and to happen in our life. And here we are trying to pray against the will of God, saying, God, remove this out of my life. And God had chosen that thing and ordained that very thing to be in your life, like he did with Paul. When Paul besought the Lord three times, I believe it said three times, to remove this thorn from his flesh, I mean to remove this thing that was resisting him, coming up against him, that was getting on his nerves and that was oppressing him, and he felt like it was being a hindrance to him, to remove from him, and the Lord told him that his grace is sufficient for him. The reason being was to keep him in that place of humility because of the revelation that he received from the Lord, the abundance of revelation, the things that the Lord was revealing unto him, showing unto him, was to keep him humble so that he didn't get lifted up in pride or he lifted up in himself and thinking that, you know, that it was all him, that he knew it all, and that it was by, again, his ability or going back to that old man, because he thought that he was doing God a service when he was Saul, when he's going around persecuting and killing the Christians. And because he was one of the top scribes and Pharisees, other Pharisees, you know, well educated, knew the word of God, knew. I mean, well, you might as well say he went to Harvard back in his days, knew the word of God well. And God didn't want him to get back into that, the enemy to pull him into that, because that could have easily happened because of what he was receiving from the Lord and the revelation that he was receiving from God. A lot of times when we're walking in the Spirit and we're walking in the deep things of God, and it's easily for the enemy, if we're not careful, to try to pull us off and you know, in pride and have us thinking because, you know, that we're so super spiritual because of the things that God shows me, that I'm greater than you, I'm better than you, you're not deep, you're not on my level. So, you know, that arrogance started to kick in and pride started to kick in. And I know, and I've met some people like that in the church. I'm talking about men and women of God, walked around arrogant, walked around prideful, walked around looking down on other men and women of God and other people. The word of God said that we're supposed to be servants, that he that is the chiefest among you, let him be the servant of you all. But we kind of like got it backwards. You know, I'm the great apostle. I'm, you know, the chief prophet, you know, and people supposed to come and serve me, wait on me hand and feet, and but it's supposed to be the other way around. That's why Jesus said, showed the example when he was washing the disciples' feet. And Jesus told Peter, if you don't allow me to do this, then I have no part in you, because Peter was trying to stop him, telling him, don't wash my feet. So Jesus was showing them the way of humility, even though Jesus was God incarnated in the flesh, moved and walked in great signs and wonders and miracles, but he was still showing them how to be humble and how to walk in humility. And the higher God takes us up, the deeper the Lord takes you, you're supposed to walk lower in humility, in mind and in spirit. I'm not talking about a false humility, but I'm talking a true humility. Well, saints of God, my time is just about winding up. Amen. I want to try to get much of this of the word to you as I can, and then I'm going to begin to close on out. But like I said, when you're chosen by God, back to St. John, the 66th verse, it said, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? See, Jesus could expose who the devil was, but he didn't. But he knew that that person that was there was part of the assignment for his life. And he knew the will of God. See, that's when you know the will of God, you're not going to try to interfere. You're not going to pray, Lord, take me out of the you know, the fire, God, bring me out, Lord. You know, you're not going to pray like that prematurely, you know, premature prayers and stuff like that for God to bring you out and so on and everything. Why? Because you know the will of God. You know, amen, what God is doing in your life. And you're willing to stand in the fire. You're willing to go through and to suffer for his name's sake. You're willing to pay the price for the Lord, regardless of the resistance, regardless of how the enemy may be agitating you and irritating you and trying to work against you. Why? Because God is working all things out in together for your good through it. In Romans, the 9th chapter, in the 21st verse, it said, have not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. So there's our vessels, which I said that are chosen by the Lord, are vessels of honor, and then there are vessels of dishonor, like Judas. He was a vessel of dishonor. There are many other vessels of dishonor which are in the church today. It's for the purpose of God. The word of God said, let the wheat and the tares grow together, and I will do the separating. And then the word of God talks about sheep and the goats. He told the sheep, come on his right hand, come and inherit. Amen. You know, the kingdom of God and so on and everything. Then he told the goats on his left hand to depart from me. And they was cast into everlasting darkness. Amen. So the word of God talks about, you know, so we know that there are going to be false prophets among us, false apostles, false teachers. And so on. Jesus said in Matthew 24, I believe, he said, don't follow them, go not there, but know that that they're going to be in our midst, and that these are the last days that we are in. These are signs just showing us, amen, of our coming Lord and Savior. Just look at it as a handbook showing you that, man, Jesus is soon to come. You know, we are all called to be ministers of the gospel. Some people be like, well, you know, well, I'm not called to preach in the pulpit, or that's not my calling. No, we are all called. You may not have a pulpit ministry, but we are called to be ministers of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:18, it said, and all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You hear that? Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You hear that? The ministry of reconciliation. Given us the ministry of reconciliation. He didn't put no stipulations on it. Said he gave the apostles the ministry of reconciliation, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher. No. He said, given unto us, which those that are God's elect, those that are of the kingdom, he's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, there are three types. And I'm about to wrap it up. There are three types of ecclesias, I would say, saints. The outer court, the inner court, and the holies of holies. Now, the outer court profess religion and say that they believe in God or a God or in Jesus, but don't have a relationship with him. They stay away from the church. They say, I don't have to be involved with the church. I just have them in my heart. I live a more... I mean, anybody don't do any, you know, thing, you know, wrong, anything like that. My church is at home. You know, the TV evangelist is my pastor who I watch on TV. You know, they want no accountability, and they still, you know, live in the world system, or not even born again, or living off someone else's prayers, or, you know, or others, you know, thinking that this is what's going to get them into heaven. But in Mark 8:36, the word declares, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In Mark 4:19, it said, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, choking the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You hear that? And the other one is the inner court. It said they are the consumers. They come to church sometimes off and on when they are in trouble, need something from God. They're selfish or self-seeking, or seeking the hand of God and not his face. Bless me, my four, no more. They're not thinking on the things of others but on themselves, and they're self-centered, really no involvement with the church. They are there but detached, going with the motions, won't come to Bible study or midweek service, not even using the gift or talent that God has blessed them with, or even submitted to the church, or submit that gift or that talent to the church, or being one that is submitted unto authority, leadership in the church, out of obedience unto the Lord. And the other type is they you know, they come to service in the church, but their motives be wrong. They're competitive, fight for positions, look for accolades of men, lukewarm. According to Revelation 3:16, it says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. They base their salvation off out of works. Ephesians 2:8-9 said, we are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, should any man boast. You hear that? Not of works. It's the gift of God that we're saved through faith. Now, the last one is the holies of holies. And they know they are saved by grace. Their motives are clean. They're transparent, always trying to stay and walk humbled and broken, according to Psalms 51:17, a broken spirit and contrite heart, ready to serve, submissive, obedient. They are the kingdom. They're kingdom-minded, kingdom-driven, destiny-driven. They use their gifts and talents for the kingdom of God and for the purposes of God. They want the deep things of God. They're intercessors. They're warriors. They're into spiritual warfare. They're apostolic and prophetic people. They're always desiring to bear forth the good fruit. And they run after the vision. They run with the vision of the house. They're praisers. They're prophetic dancers. They're minstrels. They're psalmists. They go all the way into the holies of holies. They're hot on fire. for Jesus. They live not their life unto death, willing to lose friends, family, forsaken all for the gospel to please Jesus. They are true worshipers, according to John 4:23 in closing, that the Father seeketh. They worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, my time is up, saints of God. I thank the Lord for you for listening in. And those of you that want to give your life unto the Lord and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. If you said that prayer with me, you're saved. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over you. Get into a good Bible-believing, amen, spirit-filled church, amen, that believes in eating the whole roll, amen, and just seek a walk and a closer relationship with the Lord. Get around those that can mentor you, that are seasoned in the things of God, that can mentor you and pray with you and take you in and help bring forth even more deliverance and concerning the Word of God. Get involved, you know, with the church. Come to Bible study. Learn and soak up all that you can in the things of God. Amen. Well, my time is up. That's about it. So the lines are now open with the minute that I do have for those that may want prayer or have a comment or anything like that. Amen. Amen. Well, bless God. Well, I pray that you were encouraged. I pray that you were blessed on tonight. I pray that you have a more understanding, amen, on there's different facets, amen, that you can go into concerning, amen, this area of the outer court, inner court, and the holies of holies. God had me coming from the point of dealing with the church, dealing with the body of believers, amen, dealing with as how in the Old Testament, how that was a shadow and a type in the natural when he had Moses to architect and to build the temple, the outer court, the inner court, and the holies of holies. Remember, the temple of God, we are the temple of God. God lives on the inside of us. And so you have to look and examine yourself. Which one are you? Are you one that is on the outer court? Are you one that's in the inner court? Or are you the one that's going all the way into the holies of holies? Well, God bless you. I love you. Again, tune in and listen to me, Apostle Flowers, every first and third Mondays of the month at 8 p.m., again, I pray that you are encouraged and blessed and strengthened. And if you want to know our times of our service and our location, you can call me at area code 773-888-3356. And we are located here in the windy city of Chicago, Illinois. Amen. Well, bless God in parting. Amen. I just declare and I decree, amen, the blessings of the Lord upon you that make of you rich, and out of no sorrow. God bless you, and good night.